year this year. Y'all got mighty quiet. We welcome you. Maybe the rapture takes place this year.
Amen.
Let me ask, I'm kind of ignorant on stuff, more than a whole lot of things. Didn't I hear somewhere that the world's supposed to end in 2012 or something?
Because the calendar, the Mayan calendar or something. Mm-hmm. Some calendar.
Yeah. December.
They even made a move about it.
Ended.
December 21st of this year. December 21st.
Well, let me ask y'all. Who in here is worried about that date?
Not me.
Do you know how you know that that cannot happen?
Rapture hasn't taken place.
The rapture's got to take place. In other words, the church, the body of Christ that God's dealing with today in the books of Romans to Philemon, the body's got to be filled up. It is filled up with believers that believe when Jesus Christ died at Calvary that he died for all their sins. The Holy Spirit baptizes those people into the body. Those people, according to Ephesians chapter 1, are his fullness. Do you know what the fullness is? It's his righteousness put to our account. We are righteous in his death at Calvary. We identify with that. The Holy Spirit baptizes us when the body is full and complete. There is no further need for us to stay here. You understand? The last person that God Almighty foreknew before the foundation of the world, whatever that was, the last one that God foreknew would trust Christ as their personal Savior, get saved. God knows the body's full, don't he? He does also know that the end of grace has come. So he knows about Genesis through Malachi. He also knows about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He knows this time in here is fulfilled. Those who first trusted in Christ, in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed. Talk to your buddy.
I got a buddy.
Castro.
Yeah.
Do you know Castro?
Yeah, I know him. I like him a lot.
He's from Cuba.
Yeah.
Your buddy Castro.
Right.
He said that they can't nobody know that they are sealed. That people can lose their salvation. Can you lose your salvation?
No. I'm sealed.
No. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. What you deserved and what I deserved was the wrath of Almighty God. But I got good news for you. God Almighty loved you and gave his son to die for you. He loved you just like you are. Now, we don't always please him, do we?
No.
Does he stop loving us?
No.
No. Do your children always obey you?
No.
Do you spank them?
Yeah.
Does that mean you don't love them?
No.
It means you love them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason you correct them. Get them straightened out. Get them on the right path. My mom and dad need to get up out of that cemetery out there and come spank me some more and get me straightened out sometime. They didn't do enough. No, but you see, they didn't stop loving me. God Almighty does not stop loving us, regardless of what we do. And shame on us if we bring any reproach on what Christ did at Calvary. Shame on us. Now, you ought to have a repentant attitude about that. Not for salvation, but because you are saved. Because of what it costs the Lord Jesus Christ to save people such as me. And you. Y'all know yourself. Mm-hmm. So when this body is full, the rapture takes place. God deals with Israel in the tribulation. The man of sin will be revealed. And he cannot be revealed while we're here. There is something withholding this character from being revealed. And it's the church, the body of Christ. It is not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the Hebrew epistles over here. Hebrews through Revelation over here. After the rapture of the church. So there's no more dispensation of grace over here. This is the dispensation of grace. This is the time that God has set aside that all men can be saved today. All men. God was not having all men to be saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you know who he was having saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? His people. He came to his own. He came to Israel and those that were allied with Israel. Those that were in the covenants of promise. As Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius gave much alms to the people and God sent Peter to preach to him. In Acts chapter 10, do you know what Peter preached to Cornelius? What did Peter tell Cornelius? Turn to Acts 10. You know, this is a new year, but it's the same message this year as it was last year. The message does not change. Look at Acts chapter 10. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Does the people that Peter writing to, regardless of who he is, in this dispensation that Peter's talking about back here, does he have to work righteousness?
Yes.
Do you know what part of the work of righteousness is? Go to Matthew chapter 5. We'll start in verse 17. Matthew 5 verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Do you all know how Jesus Christ fulfilled the law? By water baptism. Hold what you got. Go to chapter 3. Verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to John, to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. What did he do? He baptized him. In the baptism of Jesus Christ, did he fulfill the righteousness for Israel?
Yes.
He that feareth God and worketh righteousness. Go back to chapter 5. Verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now listen, does Paul preach the law for salvation in Matthew, in Romans to Philemon?
No.
Paul preaches just the opposite, doesn't he?
Yes.
He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law. Now you can't find a better love than that. That God Almighty took his law out of the way for a bunch of sorry, low down skunks like us. And if you don't think you are, you need to read Romans chapter 5 very carefully. Romans chapter 5 verse 6, Romans chapter 5 verse 8, and Romans chapter 5 verse 10. And that while we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ did what? He died for us while we were ungodly persons. Now, in Matthew 5, verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, we're not involved in the kingdom of heaven. We're involved in the kingdom of his dear son, which is called the church, which is his body. Now, verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is the righteousness in the context that we've just been reading about? Water baptism. Go to Luke chapter 7. Let's see if that ain't what he says. Luke chapter 7. Verse 24. Luke 7, verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live deliciously are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he, John the Baptist now. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. You find that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there are not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. In other words, work righteousness. Go back to Acts 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. But in every nation, Peter preaching to Gentiles, Cornelius' family, those in his household, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of the world, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. Did God send that to you?
No.
Who did he send that word to?
Israel.
Who did he send it by? John the Baptist. You understand? Go to Acts chapter 13. Go to Acts chapter 13. I showed this to a grace preacher one day, and he said, you know, that's a good way to put that. And I said, do what? I said, I didn't put it like that. I said, God had it written like that. Well, I didn't do it. Now, the Apostle Paul is preaching in Acts 13. Now, he's preaching about Israel's history. Come to verse 22, and when he had removed him, that's Saul, King Saul, that they asked back in Samuel, they wanted the king. God said, give him a king, but tell him what the fellow's going to do to him. And I think about some of these elected officials that we elect. They come tell you what they're going to do, and we still elect them. You know? Well, why cry now? I voted for him. I ain't going to cry about it. You know what I'll do? Next time I won't vote for you. Vote for somebody else, another crook. But anyway, they wanted this king Saul. God gave him to him, and in spite of what he was going to do. Now, God removed him. Now, verse 22, when he had removed him, he raised up them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. And I challenge you to study 1 Samuel chapter 13 on about David's life, how David did and what he did. I'm not going to tell you what he did. I want you to look at it and study it. And you tell me that God Almighty don't love sinners. David was a sinner. verse 23, of this man's seed, David, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto the world a Savior, Jesus. No, it's still Israel, ain't it? When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of who? Now, why would I change? I've seen Israel three times that we've studied. Israel, Israel, Israel. Why would I want to change it and say John the Baptist was sent to the church, the body of Christ? When in the church, the body of Christ, there ain't no Jew or Gentile. You understand? So the fulfillment of Acts 10 is water baptism. Now, go to Titus chapter 2. And we think to get on with our lesson in just a minute. This is just a pre-fix or whatever you call that thing. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, can all men be saved today?
Yes.
They sure can. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Well, is anything wrong with living right?
No.
No, it ain't. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But if you live right and don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, where are you going to wind up? You're going to wind up in hell. Living right won't save you. Now, there's nothing wrong with living right. It's good that people would live right. If we could live neighborly, we'd have a lot less problems. We could do like when my mom and dad was raising us four youngs. We'd go off to Michigan when dad would save up enough gas money to drive up there. My grandmother lived in Lansing, Michigan. We didn't have no locks on the house, beloved. We didn't even think about locking the house. You know why? People respected people back there, and they didn't bother their people's stuff. We lived right by the railroad track. We had hobos, that's what they were called in those days. They'd hoboed from one town to another. They had hobo jungles all around down to where I lived. They could come to your back door. The back door would be wide open. There'd be a loaf of bread sitting on that table in there. You think they'd go in there and get that loaf of bread? No, they wouldn't. We didn't have to worry about that stuff. We could be gone a week. House wide open. Well, you can't do that now. They'll steal it while you're laying there asleep. They'll pull the wires out of your wall while your lights are burning. But wouldn't it be nice if everybody lived godly?
Yeah.
It'd be a whole lot nicer world, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe you can show them how to live godly. Maybe in your lifestyle, you can show them how, hey, we don't not do this. God don't require me to do this. And I'm bringing reproach on what Christ did for me at Calvary by doing what I'm doing here. You know, we got a lot of times our walk speaks louder than our words. You know that? Standing there drinking a beer, trying to tell somebody about Jesus Christ loving you, what are they going to think? I mean, it ain't no harm in you drinking a beer every now and then, is it? In excess it is, oh, ain't it? And a little bit here brings a whole lot here, and yonder down the road we become alcoholics or addicted to these things. Our bodies crave these things, and then we get out of hand. We run out of money, so we got to have this stuff. So, well, we just knock old Joe Blow in the head. He's got a pocket full of money. And it escalates, you see. So there's nothing wrong with living godly. But in Titus chapter 2 here, verse 12, teaching us, and in other words, grace teaches us something. Grace teaches me God's love. With all of that in mind, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about God's love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Were we all dead? Well, did he die for all of us? He sure did. And that word constrains there binds us together. In other words, the members of the church, the body of Christ, are constrained by God's love. Not by our love, but by his love. Hold your place and go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I love this passage right here. You see, not only when Jesus Christ died at Calvary did he die for those that were in the covenants of promise, but he also died for people such as us that were not in the covenants of promise. In other words, we're not in prophecy. Those who first trusted in Christ, you can find them in prophecy back here. I'll bless them that bless you in Genesis 12, verse 3, and I'll curse them that curse you. And you go through the Old Testament, and you find those that God blessed because they blessed his children's seed, and they were God's enemies, and he blessed them because they blessed the seed of Abraham. Those that cursed the seed of Abraham back here, God cursed them. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, over here, these who first trusted in Christ are in the covenants of promise. We are not in the covenants of promise. Ephesians 2, verse 12. We are not in the covenants of promise. We were not allied with Israel. We are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. And I don't care if Jack Doe or Billy Graham or who tells you that you're in the covenants of promise, just yawn real big and say you need to brush up on your Bible and believe what the Bible says. He said we were not in the covenants of promise. Now, there ain't no clearer way to write it than the way Paul wrote it, led by the Spirit of God, to write it that Gentiles such as us were not in the covenants of promise. So there ain't no need of me going back here and trying to tell you that you're in one of these covenant promises back here. I'd be a lying to you. And that would bring reproach on what Christ did at Calvary when he died for all of us. Now, Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, we had no hope. We were in the world. Israel has become Lo-Amni, not God's people. In Acts chapter 28, Paul is still dealing with Israel first. Now, people label people whatever they want. I don't care. I know in Acts 28 that Paul is still doing miracles and signs and wonders, and as long as Israel's there, they require signs. Israel is no more here. No. Beloved, there ain't no signs for the church, the body of Christ. There's nothing that's got to be fulfilled. I don't care if it's December the 21st, if it's January the 1st, or what day these idiots say the world's coming to an end. They just yawn real big and know that the body is still here. So there's 7 years over here. There's a 1,000-year millennial reign over here at the second coming when Jesus Christ comes down to sit on the throne of his father David, which was promised to him back in the Old Testament scriptures. That's after the 1,000 years, then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So what's that tell you? Don't pay no attention to these knuckleheads that try to figure out what God's doing. I'm trying to get to my mind the article I was listening to on TV. What they're trying to do, they're trying to prove that God does not exist. What they said, and I don't remember what this program was about. I was just passing through when football was at halftime and stuff. They said that God is an imagination of man's mind, and then from that they come up with these religious systems. Any of y'all see that? But God is a man-made God. You know what the question in Hebrews is? What is man that thou art mindful of him? The creator of heaven and earth came down, gave everything that he had to die for me and you because he loved us. There was no other way for you to get to God without Jesus Christ dying for you. Now, if you could be good and work righteousness and God accept you into heaven, then Christ died in vain. Christ died. He had to die for us. No other way. Now, in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What are they disobedient to? They are disobedient to the word of God, rightly divided. Among verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, thank God for the buts in this Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Hath, past tense, hath quickened us together. Everybody, every member, every person that God foreknew would trust Christ as their personal Savior. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, they were resurrected with him. Look at the verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And you know what I think about? I think about that dumb, old, stupid Jesse the Planter. That nook said he went to heaven. He's a walking around up in heaven and these beautiful flowers all over him. He said, man, I don't want to step on them flowers. And whoever this was, I don't know if it was the angel of the Lord or Peter or who it was, he said, was leading him through up yonder. He said, well, you won't hurt him, just walk on through. Peter said he walked through there and it didn't hurt him. He said, there's old Paul over sitting over yonder, and Paul's still saying, my gospel. He's making fun of Paul. If he'd have shut his mouth, maybe Paul would have taught him something.
Amen.
You understand? Paul could have taught stupid Jesse something. Jesse ain't never been to heaven. Now, he may have dreamed something. Any of y'all dream? Boy, there's some things I dream I hope I don't ever do. Yeah, you better leave that in the long day. Verse 6, Ephesians 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together. Has Jesus Christ, when he was resurrected, did he go by himself?
No.
What went with him? Sir? The body. Who is the body?
Church.
We are the fullness of him. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. You're right here, Eddie. In Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to skip around. Let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Has he blessed us?
Yes.
Well, sometimes do we feel blessed?
No.
You see, you don't go by your feelings. You go by the word of God. Jesus Christ blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Verse 4, having chosen us, look at it, according as he hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Are we holy and without blame before God in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Now, you can't beat a better love than that, can you? You can't beat a better love than that. Now, if we could get a grip on just part of God's love, how He could love a low-down, sore bum in the gutter drinking beer and wine and whiskey and stinks, ain't had a bath in months, he smells the high heaven, but God Almighty loves him, and you may be the only one that knows that God Almighty loved that man. Why not tell him or her? It ain't just men nowadays, it's women in this condition nowadays. You know, I think about the DEA people in our country that's fighting the drugs. I think they're on the wrong end of the line. We got a lot of potheads in this country. Yeah. If we didn't, they wouldn't be trying to build these multi-million dollar submarines and stuff like that to get it into this country. They're trying to get drugs into this country any way they can. You know why? We got a lot of people buying them. Well, what we need to do is to share with these people that's hooked on this crap that God Almighty loves them and they can be saved just like they are. It ain't after they stop this. It ain't after they quit this. It ain't after you don't do this or don't say that or don't eat this or don't drink that. God Almighty loved you just like you are. Just like you are. Do y'all love your kids just like they are? Or you just love them when they're good? You know, I've heard the old tale all my life. That's a good boy. Especially when he's asleep. You ever heard that? I've heard my mama tell people that. Well, old person, he's pretty good while he's asleep. Well, she just didn't know what was going through my mind while I was asleep. Well, we're sorry. But God Almighty loved me. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I like that. God who's rich in mercy for His great love. Not because I loved Him, but because He loved me. He sent His Son to die for me, that I can have eternal life with Him. No other way can you have eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, and that He died for all. Did He die for all?
Yeah.
Well, can all men be saved?
Yeah.
Hold your place here and go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hold 2 Corinthians. I believe all means all. Verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for some men.
All men.
You know why? Jesus Christ died for all men, even those we don't like. He died for them. Verse 2, for kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this, praying for all men, and he lists the men there, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. Now, do you believe everybody in the world believes there's one God? No, man. There's multi-gods. I talked to a man years ago. I preached at a conference, and his wife barely could speak English. This young man, his last name is Burrell. A lot of y'all know him. After the conference, he come to me, him and his wife. And I tried to talk to her. Because she's Oriental and barely could speak English. And she said, the more gods, where she, the country she was in, the more gods that you have, the better off you are. Mm-hmm. Well, how many gods are there?
One
God. Go well, hold your place here and go with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Did we just read that God our Savior? Mm-hmm. Well, are y'all holding 1 Timothy?
Yeah.
Hold Isaiah. Go back to 1 Timothy. Verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Go to Isaiah 43. Verse 3, and I'm going to skip around. Verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sabea for thee. Come to verse 6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Is there anybody that can save you besides God Almighty?
No.
Go to chapter 44. Chapter 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. Well, who am I going to believe? I'm going to believe that woman, or am I going to believe the book? I'm going to believe the book. Look what he says, verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time I have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Now, you know anybody that worships images?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You sure do. By the millions. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. Go back to 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the woman, Mary. Is that what he said? Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, I heard a priest, I watched the Catholic Channel one day, and I heard a priest talking to his parishioners, or whatever they call them, that if you prayed to God and didn't get it, and you prayed through Jesus, now listen, I heard him say this, next time you pray through Mary. She's got more pull with God than Jesus has. I wanted to cry. You know why? I got family involved in that crap. I got friends that's involved in that junk. And God said it's idolatry. God said it's an iniquity. And God said, come out from among you and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. You know what the unclean thing is today? It's a religious system that would bring reproach on the love that God had for you and tell you there's some other way you can get there besides what Christ did at Calvary. Now that burns my gizzard. I was eating. I stopped up in Mount Vernon the other day. Me and my grandson went hunting up at that cafe, the restaurant. service station got a deli in there.
Yeah.
Right there. You know where it's at there?
Yeah,
I stopped there and got me some fried gizzards. And I got him some fried chicken. I'm going down right. I love gizzards. He said it. Said, "Papa, what you eating?" I said, "I'm eating gizzards." He said, "What is that?" I said, "That's the stuff that the place where the chicken digests his food." And he, it like turned him again eating his chicken leg. But I love them gizzards. And that ain't got nothing to do with God loving us. But I do love gizzards. Verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified" when?
In due time.
When is the due time? 2012. It don't make no difference what day they call this. It don't make no difference what year this is. It's still due time. Go to Titus chapter 1. Hold Timothy. Go to Titus chapter 1. Listen, we have the same message today as we did last year. The message has not changed. The time has not changed. We still live in the dispensation of the grace of God. When this dispensation ends, and we do not know when it'll be, there's no sign got to be fulfilled for this dispensation to end. Then the Lord would deal with Israel through the Antichrist. Those that believe the Antichrist over here will not go into the kingdom. They will lose their eternal life. Those that reject the Antichrist over here, give up their lives, love their life until the death, will go into the kingdom over here to be with the Lord. You ain't got to give up nothing. You want to eat gizzards? Eat gizzards. And I don't only like chicken gizzards, I love a pot full of mullet gizzards. Y'all ever had mullet gizzards? I know one lady in here would love them. I love a pot of mullet gizzards. They are, mullet's the only fish you got a gizzard. Y'all know that? Listen, if you can't look at me and tell that I love food, you need to get your eyes checked. God is going to deal with Israel over here in the tribulation. And let me tell you something. If you've heard the gospel of Christ, and I know you have, if you've heard that Jesus Christ died for you, paid for all your sins, and rejected that, try to get to heaven some other way. If you go into the tribulation over here, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God is going to send you a strong delusion. There he is, and you will believe a lie and be damned when you do. And if you want to know who the father of a lie is, ask Jesus Christ in John chapter 8. He said, "You are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning." The first thing he did was put doubt on that God told Adam and Eve. He told Adam, he said, "The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." You know what the devil did? "Oh, Eve, you ain't going to die. God don't really mean that." Does God mean that all men can be saved today?
Yes.
Does God mean that there's one mediator between God and men, or two?
One.
How, I didn't hear you.
One.
Who is that mediator?
Jesus
Christ. Well, it ain't going to do you no good to pray through Mary, because Mary's got the same problem you have. She's got the bloodline from Adam. She's a sinner. She was born a sinner. Catholics don't like that. Now, I don't give a flip. I'm sorry for them. I pray for them that they could understand. "Come unto the knowledge of the truth." What is the truth? There's one God. There's one mediator. between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we've got little ones in here, and why would you think that Mary would have more pull with God than Jesus Christ himself would? Just think about that. I mean, that's awful. That's awful to even think that way. It's terrible. It's shameful. Put God on the level with a man. You might tempt a man, but God can't be tempted. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said, and will he not make it good? Did God Almighty tell you through his love for you that if you would accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believe in the fact that when he died at Calvary, he died for you, that he'd save you? Did he say that? Yes. He sure did. Did he mean it? Yes. He sure did. If he hadn't, he wouldn't have said it. He cannot lie. God Almighty told you that I gave my Son to die for you. His great love. Now, boy, if we could just get a portion of that love, wouldn't it be a whole lot better world? Oh, it'd be a joyful place. But God Almighty knew that the further man went, the smarter man got, the further away from God he gets. The man thinks he can do anything. Thinks he can do anything. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Now we're talking about in due time. Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. What did Paul acknowledge?
The truth.
Let me show you what Paul acknowledged. Hold your place and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. And you've got to keep in mind that Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul was a blasphemer. And in Paul's day, now listen to me, in Paul's day, Paul knew that if he blasphemed, he could not be saved. You understand me? Paul knew that he, as a blasphemer, could not be saved. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus Christ said, you speak against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. But you speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you, neither in this world nor in this world to come. Paul blasphemed. You understand, in Acts chapter 7 and 8, Paul blasphemed, and Paul knew that he had no way to get to God. He knew by the scriptures and the law that he was doomed and damned to go to hell. But you know what? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he saved us, even when we were dead in sin. Paul was dead in his sins. You know what that man said? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God Almighty loved that low-down, stinking Paul. Well, his name was Saul at that time, just as much as he loves anybody in the world today. His love has not failed, and it will not fail. It will not fail. He even loves those over here in the tribulation, because we know that by 2 Peter chapter 2, that Peter said God would have all men to come to repentance. All men to come to repentance. God would have all men to be saved today by trusting what Christ did at Calvary. And you too can be saved. Now watch what Paul says here in Titus chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 15. This is what Paul received. Watch what he says here. Chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. In other words, the gospel that Paul preached is the gospel that will save you today, not the gospel that Peter preached in Acts 10. The word righteousness, that won't save you. Verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Flip back to, hold your place, flip back to Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, and a servant of Jesus Christ, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth. Did Paul acknowledge the truth? Which is after godliness. What is the truth?